Yo, message heavy, don't prompt, yo, they not ready. Race against the time like four wheels and hands ready. Keep it steady, beat it hard and they barely give them ears and hear the truth in the light, throw confetti. Yeah, message heavy, don't prompt, yo, they not ready. Race against the time like four wheels and hands ready. Keep it steady, beat it hard and they barely give them ears and hear the truth in the light, throw confetti. Just the flip of the watch, it's game time,
time, time, time, time.
Flip of the watch, it's game time.
What's up? Welcome to the 520 Collective Podcast. It's where music meets ministry and the indie artist takes center stage. We are live in the field on the Trackstars Podcast Network, and this episode is being sponsored by The Messenger. It's the latest project from Eternal. It was released as a celebration of the 50th anniversary of Mr. Big Stuff. Eternal featured Angeli Jonell and DJ Matt Cummings on the record. The trio combined with producers Steve OG and Steve Vicious to celebrate one of the biggest hits in the history of American music, setting out to inspire the world while igniting a love for dance over a fun 80s hip-hop vibe. Check out The Messenger by Eternal on digital music platforms now. I am Eric Boston. Check me out on Twitter at EricBoston3. That's at EricBoston and the number 3. And I'm here with my guy, Nate Shelton. What's good, man?
Hey, what's good? It's already September. I cannot believe it. I'm excited to record this. How are you doing, Eric?
Man, I'm good, man. I'm with you, dude. This is a big episode for us. I'm excited to let people know about the interview for this month, but we're going to hold off. We're not going to spoil that yet. But yeah, man, we are live in the 520 Discord server as well. Shout out to the guys listening in. If you want to be a part of future live recordings of the 520 Collective Podcast, make sure you join our server. You can do that at 520collective.com. There's an invite, so make sure you do that. Nate, where do people follow you?
Well, you can follow me on Twitter at @IM_NateDog. Keep up to date with all the latest in independent CHH.
That's what's up, man. So, speaking of, man, we've got an interesting discussion, and we're trying something new this time around, man. It's going to be a two-part discussion. So, the first part's happening on this episode of the podcast, and we're going to follow up with the second part on the next podcast as well. And we're also going to do something in between them where you guys that listen in and support what we got going on can help us by voting on this process as well. So, Nate, something I saw, I think a lot of people probably saw it, but, you know, there was a discussion about who's on your Mount Rushmore of, you know, whether it was hip-hop, Christian hip-hop, whatever. And it got me to, you know, thinking, and a few people were having this discussion as well, like, who would literally go on the Mount Rushmore of Christian rap? And it's not an easy decision. I think there's a lot of discussion involved with this, Nate. So here's our goal. You and I hadn't necessarily discussed a strict criteria. We were just, kind of spitballing, coming up with a list of names, right, is our initial goal here. But I would say if we're going to have a criteria, we're looking at artists who have really pushed the genre forward, that have been able to maybe cross some of those bridges, make some connections. It's not all about, just your pen game or your lyrics, right? It can be. So I think it's going to be an interesting discussion. And here's our goal, guys, is that we want to come up with 2 to 3 names. Ultimately, we're going to have 4. We'll see where we get to in this discussion. I definitely want to leave here with 2 on there, but possibly 3. And then we're going to put up a poll with some options on 520collective.com that you guys can tune into. Here's where I want to start. There's 2 names that I think we got to talk about at the beginning. And one of them I'm calling the obvious. And I think we all know who that is. I'm not even going to try to play it up. It's Lecrae. Now, here's the interesting thing. I know Nate well enough to know that Lecrae wouldn't be on our personal Mount Rushmores, or if someone said, who's your top five Christian rappers, Lecrae wouldn't be on it for me or Nate. I don't know where he falls for sure for you, Nate. I don't even know that I'd have Lecrae in my top 10. I'm just not a big fan of his, but there's no denying his place in Christian rap, right? So, I mean, I think we obviously, that's one spot down. But here's the second name that I want to throw out that I think has to be in this discussion, and I'm calling it the most polarizing name whenever it comes to Christian rap, and that is Toby Mac. I've got my opinions, but I'm going to start by hearing what you think. What do you think about Toby Mac? Does he deserve a place? Is he in the conversation to be in or to be on the Christian rap Mount Rushmore?
That's an interesting discussion because I was thinking about this. Toby Mac is interesting because obviously he started off on the CHH Christian rap scene. He does still occasionally rap. I mean, since he went independent, he's been more pop-oriented. It's a toss-up for me. It's hard to really put him on the Mount Rushmore just because of how limited his library is rap-wise. So I may have to lean towards leaving him off.
Okay, well, then I'm going to make it my goal right now to convince you and anyone listening as to why Toby Mac should be on the Mount Rushmore of Christian rap. And here's why. You already kind of hit on it, right? DC Talk, they came in late 80s. And honestly, their first three albums, right, were very hip-hop based. You had the self-titled, you had New Thing, you had Free at Last, where hip-hop was at the forefront of it. Is Toby Mac the greatest rapper to ever do it in the Christian rap space? No. That is fair. But here's what he has done for the genre. One, I think he made it more acceptable for rap and hip hop to be a part of Christian culture, to be a part of the church, right? Take that however you want, but he made parents feel safe for their children to listen to rap music, right? But then just what he's done outside of DC Talk to push Christian hip hop forward. And I'm talking about the fact that he co-founded Goatee Records, which has broke so many guys. I mean, you look in like the late 90s, early 2000s, you got guys like John Rubin, Grits, No Da Verbs. They brought on Mars Ill and Deep Space 5. And even now, like he's still part of the culture, you know, with artists like Aaron Cole, even without the DC Talk aspect of it. That is my argument for why he is part. That's a very Mount Rushmore.
Very good argument. And yeah, his record label, all the artists that he's put on, Aaron Cole, he does rap, but he's more of the R&B lane, which he also had several other R&B artists on his label. Grits.
Oh yeah, I mean, you had John Rubin. Out of Need. I mean, there was a lot. I mean, if you get into the R&B side, I mean, it's very urban, you know, regardless.
Yes. So for the urban stream of music, he's done a whole lot, and you can't deny that with his label. So that alone, I could see him being on the Mount Rushmore. Maybe not so much for the music side of it, because as you said, you know, not the greatest rapper, was kind of, as I said, kind of short-lived. There was three albums, but then they changed genres, more CCM.
Here's what I want to do. I want to see some of the names on your list. Who are some of the names on your list? Because I've got a few, but I have one in particular that I think deserves strong consideration. But I want to hear some of the names that you've got, Nate.
Well, the first one that came to my mind was Ambassador, or the whole Cross Movement team.
Yeah, I put Cross Movement down on mine just as a whole.
Ambassador was still probably one of the best rappers in CHH. So yeah, definitely Cross Moon up there. What they did to elevate the talent of CHH definitely puts them on Mount Rushmore. Another one to consider, I'd have to put for consideration KJ52.
Yep, on my list.
Just because he came up the same time as he was, quote unquote, the Christian Eminem, which I don't know if he ever fully accepted it, that label, because of his letter to Stan, Slam. I apologize. But yeah, he's been in that lane ever since that song. So got to put KJ52 up there. And I'd put Gospel Gangsters up there as well. Just because of what they did to kind of their ministry for the streets. You know, everything before that time was more church oriented for like youth groups, church people. Gospel Gangsters was strictly for the unchurched, and it was a lot easier to get your non-Christian friends to listen to it because it didn't sound churchy to them. So definitely they're nominee for being on Mount Rushmore as well. So those are the three I had.
Okay.
For consideration.
So the three of those were on my list of probables. Let me throw a few other names out there to you. And again, for me, it's a mixture of their skills as an MC, how they were able to influence and do stuff for the culture, for Christian rap, and whatever kind of mainstream crossover they brought to the table, right? Because so one of the names that I would throw out there would be T-Bone. He was able to get into movies and, you know, he's had some crossover appeal there. Bizzle, I feel like Bizzle is in the conversation. And then I also said Pedity as well. Pedity maybe not at the forefront of this list of names, but like I feel like he should at least be talked about because of his longevity. You know, he's still going. I told you I had one other name that I really think should be on the Mount Rushmore. Obviously, we said Lecrae. I feel like Toby Mac, we're going to have to come to a decision there. Maybe we can throw it to the guys listening, and they can let us know in the chat. Do you guys feel like Toby Mac should be on the Mount Rushmore? Should he make one of these spots before we wrap up? But the other name that I'm going to mention, man, is Braille. I think that Braille deserves to be on Mount Rushmore, man. Like, that dude has, again, been in this game for a long time. And, you know, been able to change with the times, stay relevant. And then you take what he's done with Humble Beast and Beautiful Eulogy. I mean, son, Beautiful Eulogy. People, when they talk about the top acts in the Christian rap space, Beautiful Eulogy is like always mentioned, right? And so if you're going to do that, you're talking about Braille. But then they have also, you know, think about what they've done with Humble Beast. You're talking about Prop. You're talking about Jackie Hill. You're talking about all these people. I don't know. What do you think about Braille?
Braille, he did come across my mind on my list. Looks like he's starting to pick that pen up again and put more music out. He did just release a single not too long ago with OB. So be looking for more Braille music as well. But yes, definitely could be heavily considered for that.
Like we said, guys, what we're going to do is we're going to create a poll on 520collective.com where you guys can help us vote for the last spot or two. And we're going to, you know, unveil our 520 Mount Rushmore on the next episode. So make sure you hop in and help us out with that. We're going to have that poll up on the site from the 16th of September through October 1st. So make sure you guys hop on and vote. All right, so we've got Lecrae. That's locked in. Do we have a second spot locked in, Nate?
I think a second spot, you got to put Cross Movement. They got to be up there. I think that would be a pretty universal answer if you did a poll. Probably, I'm not sure a lot of the guys in here would know Cross Movement. I'm sure they probably do, just because they were so big for so long. But yeah, so I think Cross Movement is definitely a solid number two. That's a no doubt.
I'm with you, and we are counting Cross Movement as one, just one entity on Rushmore. I know someone said that they could take up the whole Mount Rushmore, which is true. I mean, they could take up a couple of Mount Rushmores. But I'll concede to putting them on the poll. I'll concede to that, but I'm still of the opinion Toby Mac deserves to be on there, and I feel like Braille deserves to be on there. However, that would fill up our Mount Rushmore, and I don't want that to happen. So here's what we're gonna say. We're gonna say that we got Lecrae and Cross Movement locked in, and here I'm gonna run down our list of nominees. Nate, let me know if I've missed anyone, or guys in the chat, let me know if I'm missing anyone. But our nominees that will be on the poll on the site, we got Toby Mac, Braille, KJ52, T-Bone, Pettity, Gospel Gangsters, Bizzle, The Truth, Mr. Dell, and Flame. Am I missing anybody?
James just mentioned, if we're going to throw in Cross Movement, what about all of 116?
See, I don't count. I don't think 116 is the same as Cross Movement, though, where Cross Movement's a legitimate group. 116 is more like a collective, where Cross Movement's a group.
Right.
And to me, that's very different.
It was the collective of Reach Records, KB, Triple E, Lecrae, I think Derek Minor for a while. Not really technically a rap group, just the collective.
We're going to have the poll. Looks like we're going to end up with about 12 or so names on that poll. We're going to take the top three names that gets the most votes. And Nate and I are going to discuss them on the next podcast, to fill in our final two spots on the CHH Christian Rap Mount Rushmore. That's what I'm thinking, unless there's any objections.
Sounds good.
So.
It may come down to a death match and nominate the fourth one.
But. Right? We'll throw it into like one of those name wheels or something online and let that choose, maybe. I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, man, so Lecrae, Cross Movement, they are on the Christian Rap Mount Rushmore. We're going to find out who gets those last two spots next month, so make sure you tune in. But between now and then, go to 520collective.com and vote from September 16th to October 1st to help us narrow it down to three more finalists that we can talk about. Nate, I'm excited about this month's Industry Insider interview, man. It's arguably the biggest interview we've had, and that is with Brian Zizuk. He is the editor-in-chief of DJ Booth and the co-founder of AudioMac, one of the top 10 digital music platforms around. I mean, period. They were named top 10 in 2021 by several publications. But make sure that you tune in, stay locked in, listen to our interview with Brian Zizuk of AudioMac. But before that, Nate, we got to check out this month's featured song, as always, being sponsored by Show Me Christ Records. Check them out at showmechristrecords.com. They've got playlists. They've got music from their artists. They're doing like feedback shows on YouTube. They got a lot of stuff going on at Show Me Christ. So go and support what they're doing, because they are all about the Christian rap space. So show them love. showmechristrecords.com. And this month's featured song comes from an African CHH artist out of Nigeria. You may have heard of him, Easy Bob Wizzy. Man, it's called WRM, What Really Matters. So the dual single released on September 7th. There's some dope artists in Nigeria right now. So we're going to check that out. But yeah, man, Nate, it's been a good convo, dude. Like I said, excited to check out this interview with Brian Zizuk. Anything you want to say before we get out of here?
Yeah, I'm just excited to see where the rest of this Mount Rushmore ends up next month. So
yeah, man, make sure you go vote. So we will see you guys on next month's podcast.
Ever since Charles passed, man, I've been really thinking about it all. The fame, the money, cars, and the awards. And all the plaques I'm trying to have on walls. Is it really worth it? Nah, that's not a vibe. Ever since Charles passed, man, I've been really thinking about it all. My friends and family, dreams, and even God. Am I really living life at all? Adulting sucks, my fears really got me stuck. I think too much, I wish that I didn't grow up. It needs to stop, I'm glad that I still got church. But responsibilities and bills, there's pressure left, right, and center. Direct and indirectly, slowly messing up with my mental. Daily I'm craving financial security, straining and not money savings. It's like patience ain't going to me. Need to drown in the spirit to know what it's goes to me.
Tell me what really matters to you. Tell me what really matters to me. Yeah, tell me what really matters to you. Tell me what really matters to me. To you, yeah. Is it family or friends? Trying to pull up in the Benz. Trying to make your ends meet, yeah, yeah. Is it family or friends, yeah? Trying to pull up in the Benz, yeah. You just trying to make your ends meet, yeah.
Imagine if life was all about the things I can get. Flying in a private jet, rocking the latest Patek. Shorty's with it, cool my stress. Life was only ever cruel to me. This ain't no reason to leave. People I love will leave, making me incomplete. I ain't really got the answers, but I know for sure that we were made for more than stacking up cheese by any means. To be honest, the bar must be on the floor. Cause you make do, spend do, then go make more to spend so. What? Like, what is the point? You can stack what you want, it'll not be enough, my dude. Shorty, I feel you. You've been giving all your life and still ain't found the one that can feel you. Body's broken, but the spirit can heal you. It starts from within, you get transformed and don't conform, never settle. You've been made to operate upon a higher level. Called to create what you give, your vessel. Don't wrestle with the fact that he gives life so you can be the best you. That's true.
Tell me what really matters to you. Tell me what really matters to me. Yeah, tell me what really matters to you. Tell me what really matters. Yeah, is it family or friends? Tryna pull up in the Benz. You just tryna make your ends meet, yeah, yeah. Is it family or friends? Yeah, tryna pull up in the Benz. Yeah, you just tryna make your ends meet, yeah, yeah. Love is a frequency you got, 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 love is a frequency you got.
Welcome to this month's Industry Insider Interview, brought to you officially by
Bookkeeper247.com.
What's good, guys, and welcome to another Industry Insider Interview here on the 520 Collective Podcast. This interview is being sponsored by the Bookkeeper247.com. Go check them out at tbk247.com now, as the Bookkeeper247 is changing the culture for God and becoming the voice in Christian hip-hop. That's tbk247.com. Joining me now is a man that you may simply know as Z. He's the editor-in-chief for DJ Booth. He's the co-founder of Audio Mac. He's also a fantastic follow on Twitter. So joining me now on the Track Stars Podcast and Network phone line is Mr. Brian Zizuk. What's good, sir?
Eric, thank you for having me. That was a wonderful introduction.
Oh, man, we tried. I hope I said the last name correct. I know I've been practicing trying to get it right.
You're good. You're good.
So how are you doing? I know it's been kind of a crazy time, obviously, the last couple of years, and the music industry's been adjusting. How are things going for you?
No one ever asks me that question when I'm a guest. Everyone just jumps straight into the business, and so I really appreciate that personal touch. And to answer your question, I'm doing fine. You know, I can't complain. I'm fortunate enough to not only have a job, but have a job that I love and that I'm excited to go to every day. And that's a lot more than so many people can say, especially over the past 16 to 18 months. I also have my health, God willing. So, and as do my family members. If you have a job and you have a roof over your head and you have your health, these days, I don't think you could ask for much more. So to answer your question, man, I'm good. Thank you. How are you?
Man, we're okay. We've kind of been the same way. The family's done well, but all right. It's been a little crazy this summer, but a lot of good music, to get us through. So I can't complain about that. And man, I find your story really interesting, and I want to make sure we kind of highlight just kind of some of that background. For people who may not be familiar with it, right? So you started off in radio, or you were looking at going into radio anyway, if I'm not mistaken, like college radio, is that right?
Yeah, so my journey really begins at Illinois State University. I went to school for a degree in broadcast journalism with a specialty in radio. I wanted to be on air. I wanted to be a DJ or a show host. And everything that I did for 4 years of college, I thought was going to put me in a position to probably naively get a prime time big city market job right out of school. And I actually got a morning show production gig that I started 2 weeks after I graduated from Illinois State back in 2006. And it wasn't what I thought it was going to be. And that happened. And it was an experience for me at the time. I had to completely shift my schedule around. Morning show radio is 4 a.m. to noon every day. So I was up at 3 a.m., out the door at 3:30. We're talking about going to bed at like 7:30 at night while it's still light outside. And through that experience, I didn't really see friends much. I wasn't a very good family member because I was always tired and in a pretty bad mood. I was already losing most of my hair, and the rest of the hair on my head just decided to get off the ship at that point. And within 8 months of doing morning show radio as in production, I realized it just wasn't for me. And I didn't want to stick around doing something I knew at the time was making me unhappy. Doing DJ booth as a hobby, side all the while. And at that point, when I exited radio, I called up my would become my business partner, just a friend at the time, Dave Mackley. And I said, Dave, what do you think about me doing DJ booth full time? I don't want to go get another radio job. This would be my job. And he goes, well, if you don't want to pursue another job and do this full time, by all means. He goes, but I'm not quitting my day job just quite yet. And then lo and behold, less than 2 years later, we were generating enough page views and creating enough awareness and generating enough revenue off of those page views for this to be my full-time job and for Dave to leave his job and do it full-time. And so that was 2008. So 13 years later, I've never looked back.
There you go. Awesome. Awesome. Well, so you got into DJ booth. You guys built that up. It's a popular, like we said, one of the leading blogs during the height of that time. And then from there, you developed into what is now, you guys created Audio Mac. And what's kind of crazy for me in talking with people within like the Christian hip hop, the Christian rap space, is how many people, for Audio Mac, it's almost like it's a new platform for them. They may have heard of it, they haven't checked it out, or maybe they've only looked at it a couple of times. And I know it's gotten popular over the last couple of years for sure. We've seen a little bit of a boom in this space with Audio Mac, but it's been around for quite a while. What was that process like whenever you guys started thinking about doing a streaming service?
Well, yeah, it certainly is in a place today that we didn't foresee back in 2011 when we started to birth the idea of it. At the time, DJ Booth got into hosting mixtapes and albums and EPs for a lot of hip hop artists who were haphazardly releasing them online using file sharing services. And as we all remember from back in the day, you know, Zippy Share and Lime Links and Mega Upload, not the greatest tools to disseminate your work freely on the internet. And so, you know, whether it be malware or spyware on the family computer or pop-ups with viruses or the links expiring, there we identified a problem. And the solution was to offer DJ Booth as a means to host projects for artists so that they knew these links would not expire. They wouldn't have to incur the cost of servers or bandwidth. And they had a dedicated space to direct people to download and or stream their music. But, you know, we did that for a few years, and we recognized very quickly that was not our core competency. We were not, as a website, set up to become a streaming service. We didn't have the infrastructure in place. We sort of built it as we went. And so AudioMac was birthed as a solution that originally presented itself in what we were doing at DJ Booth to fix this problem for artists who wanted a way to share their mixtapes freely online. You know, we're talking 10 years later now. We launched in 2012, but ideated in 11. We reached 20 million monthly active users globally. We are a top streaming app in five countries in Africa. We're a top 10 music streaming app on the free side in the United States. So our growth has been considerable over 10 years, but really over the past 3.5. And I feel like we're not anywhere close to where we want to be. Now, if the next question you'd be asking, Eric, is where do you want to be? I think the two things that we're focused on is artist discovery and artist education. Discovery first. You know, anyone who uses Apple Music, Spotify, Tidal, Amazon, etc., you probably know by now most of the most valuable real estate within these apps solely dedicated to major label players and the most popular artists of the time. They almost encourage users to become passive, meaning I take my phone out of my pocket, I press play on an artist or on a playlist that I'm already familiar with, and I either stick my phone back in my pocket or I skip over to Instagram or Twitter or some social media network and I browse while listening in the background. So I'm not actively looking for new artists. Music is listening experience being done in the background. We are fundamentally changing the way people are listening. Our audience is primarily made up of lean forward and active listeners, meaning they are trying to find artists that they did not previously know about before they came to the app. Part of our rationale is by mixing in the new with the unknown, we make it easy for users to press play on those artists with which they were previously unfamiliar. And then we incorporated World, which is our editorial arm that we pivoted from DJ Booth, that provides context, right? So you found this new artist in a playlist, but who are they? You're now hoping that the user leaves the streaming world and navigates over to Google or social media to find out more, to follow them. By providing context in the form of traditional editorial in the same space that the streaming experience is happening, you now can discover an artist and immediately find out more about them, follow them, and that it sort of fundamentally changes the dynamic between the user and the artist at the most important point in the discovery process. And then the second part is education. A large base on AudioMac is DIY bedroom artists. These are artists who are pre-distribution, pre-label. They're just trying to figure out whether or not they're interested enough to pursue this seriously. And we want to be a beacon of trust. We want to provide them with a litany of resources and so that they understand the shape-shifting nature of this industry and the ecosystem that they're operating in or looking to operate in. So that is it in a nutshell.
Man, and that is awesome. And again, guys, on the phone line with me, it is Mr. Brian Zizuk, Z, from AudioMac. So obviously, sir, you got, like you said, Spotify, Apple Music, all these big-time players in the streaming music world. And AudioMac's like getting right up there with them now, and it, you know, that doesn't even seem to be the intent of what you guys did, but here you find yourself doing that for a space like Christian hip hop, Christian rap. You know, we talk about independent artists. Well, the truth is, in this space, the majority are independent artists, right? Like, there's not a lot of guys that are established that are on big labels. You know, the percentages is very small there. So most guys are trying to figure this out, trying to figure out, you know, how do I get that awareness? And I feel like so many of them are missing out on opportunities like AudioMac, because if we're going to be truthful about it, from me to you, there's a little bit of laziness involved. It's like, if we're not, you know, if DistroKid or TuneCore, whatever distribution company they use, if they're not putting their music on these platforms for them, then their music just isn't there. What is your advice for indie artists, and why do they need to be leveraging AudioMac and maybe even to a further extent other, you know, kind of not the most popular of platforms that are out there to build their fan base? Because they're missing out on a audience that's there that could be listening to their music. Like, what do you say to those independent artists?
Right. So you make several great points, and I'll try to touch on all of them effectively. So first, you know, and this is coming from a guy who co-founded a streaming platform. Artists should have their material on everywhere music is being heard. And so it would be insincere of me to say, yeah, make sure to get your music on AudioMac. Don't worry about anywhere else. Every single DSP, so digital service providers, stores and platforms, if there is an audience on those platforms, you want your music to be available. I always give the equivalency of, you know, if you're a distributor for a food or beverage company, any place that sells food or beverage, you want shelf space there. Because if that's somewhere that people go to buy food and beverage, you want your product available. The same thing goes for music. And so, for sure, whether you're going through a distributor or you have to manually upload, make sure your music's available. Let's talk about the laziness part. I totally get it. It's hard enough being an artist. It's hard enough being an independent artist who probably has to toggle between their desire to pursue a creative career while simultaneously holding down a regular 9-to-5. And so, you know, any shortcut that they could take to not have to do additional work, I totally understand. For that, I would say, if you don't work with a distributor whom we have a deal with at AudioMac, the process in which you're going to create an account probably takes 5 minutes. And the upload process, let's say for a 12-track album, probably takes 5 minutes. So I think people are often overwhelmed by the idea that something will take far longer than it will actually take. You can get an account set up, profile and all, a project uploaded in under 10 minutes. And so hopefully that will quell some of the fears that people have that or creators have that this will take longer than they have to give. All of that said, we have a account linking distribution deal with DistroKid, meaning if you are distributing to DistroKid, you can now link your DistroKid account to AudioMac, and DistroKid will deliver your titles to AudioMac, and you will be able to monetize your streams through your DistroKid account like you would for any other platform. We're in the process of doing the exact same thing with TuneCore and Amuse. And like I said earlier during this call, we have over 170 content partnerships. And so there is a litany of distributors, both big and small. We're talking like mom and pop shop operations, 5-10 artists, very niche, versus these like broad spectrum distributors, like 1RPM, who do, you know, 10, 12, 15,000 releases a week. So there are immense number of options.
Awesome. And I will attest to it, guys. Like, we have our podcast set up on AudioMac, and the upload, the creation, all that, super easy. And one thing that I love that you guys do is you don't just put it all on the artists or the creators to come up with ways to promote their content either. You actually give some tools. Like, I love how whenever we upload a new episode, we get an email with a graphic, you know, now on AudioMac, and it looks fabulous that we can share on our social medias? I mean, I feel like that's something that's a little unique for you guys as well. Like, what made you guys want to take that extra step to provide, you know, tools like that to artists?
Yeah, great question, Eric. And it goes back to what I said earlier. You know, we understand that at a very early stage of a career, an artist's budget is going to be thin. And so if they have a finite amount of money with which to spend on their craft and hopefully a career, you know, one of those things is like graphic design and digital marketing. We want to be able to provide those resources. And so, you know, like you said, when you upload a new release to the platform, you're going to get custom graphics that our system spits out that you can use for social media. These are assets to help you promote whatever your new piece of content is. If your podcast, your song is selected for trending, you're going to get a notification email to the email that you use to register for an account. And that email is going to include graphics saying, congratulations, this work is now trending on AudioMac. If you reach milestones, so if you get 1,000 plays, 10,000 plays, 100,000 plays, you're going to receive a notification email with custom graphics auto-generated by our system celebrating that milestone, and then you can use those graphics for the purpose of digital marketing on social media. When the artists and creators who use AudioMac win, we win by default. I could scream from the mountaintops what a great platform we have. It's just going to be more believable if a creator hears it from a fellow creator. That's just the honest truth.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And you mentioned earlier about the reach that AudioMac has been able to develop worldwide, right? Where you are getting creators that are using it across the globe. And I'm really interested, like, did you guys go out and seek that? Because I know for a fact, you know, I've been talking with a guy named Free from Nigeria, and the Christian hip hop space in Nigeria is growing and it's becoming, you know, more popular. There's more guys doing it. And he told me during our talks, like, hey, AudioMac's one of the prime platforms that we use. Like, was that something that just kind of happened naturally for you guys? Or did you intentionally go and look to try to build those relationships and build that interest in places outside of the U.S.?
Great question. So we saw the traction that was building up in the African music market. You know, they're still growing, and they have so much more to grow. They don't have the infrastructure in Africa, musically speaking, that obviously exists here in the United States. And so once we saw that our platform was beginning to really grow in the African music market, we doubled, tripled, and quadrupled down there. We set up an office in Lagos, and we have boots on the ground. And we hired, and we ran marketing campaigns locally. And I think part of our success is due to understanding that their infrastructure is in a lot of locations, not anywhere close to as robust as it is in the States, meaning cell phone technology is a bit older, and they do not have the same type of data plans that we have in the States. So they have limited data. They don't have access to Wi-Fi as easy as you might see here in the States. And so one of the core functions of the AudioMac app experience is offline downloads, caching. And so for those in the African music market who have those restrictions, right, they have limited data and they don't have ease of access to Wi-Fi, they can download the music to listen to offline without fear that those limitations will hinder that experience, which is huge. And that really helped elevate us in that space. We are a top five app in five countries in Africa. And I don't mean top five just in the music vertical. I mean top five, period, like next to Instagram and Facebook and WhatsApp. And so for a lot of Africans, AudioMac is the music streaming service. In particular, in Nigeria, where we're a top five app right now.
That's amazing. That is really, really amazing. I love what they're doing. And I know that you guys are making a difference because I'm hearing it, you know, from the few people I'm connected with down there. So one more question before shifting gears a little bit here, as far as like on the music side of it. So just for a smaller like subgenre like Christian hip hop, right, where we have grown and the space has grown, especially over the last like decade, you know, compared to where it was, you know, 20, 30 years ago. But it's still a small subgenre of hip hop, right? And it's looking to get more relevance and build and attract more attention from listeners. Like, what would be your suggestion for utilizing platforms like AudioMac in order to help further that growth? And how can you know, the people that are more like behind the scenes, like, you know, us and with a platform that's in the media and whatnot, potentially help educate our artists in that?
Well, I think the most important thing, and you hit on this earlier, is, you know, a large swath of the Christian hip hop scene is independent. Now, independent can mean a variety of things. So we always have to be very clear. Independent could mean truly going at it independent, not even working with a distributor independent, or it can mean being signed to an independent label or having a distribution deal, remaining independent in that you maintain the majority stake of your master ownership. I think what it comes down to is we have become a platform that is pro-discovery. And so if you're looking to build a fan base, you of course want to make sure that your music is available. And I think our audience, our ever-growing audience, has shown the propensity to press play on genres and artists that they're not familiar with. We have seen a tremendous amount of success integrating Latin and reggae and reggaeton and dancehall, of course, Afrobeat. And so I don't think that the perception for a lot of artists, which is there isn't a place for my music here, is true. And if that is what is holding you back from making your music available on AudioMac or any other platform, tell that voice inside your head to be quiet and take a leap.
Awesome. And so another thing that is really cool that you guys have done is that you have created to where podcasts can get involved with AudioMac as well. And, you know, I mentioned earlier, you know, we have our podcast on AudioMac. And one thing that we're seeing when it comes to like CHH Media and websites and that kind of stuff is we're seeing more of podcasts, you know, popping up all the time, right? It's becoming a very popular way to use stuff, as it is, you know, just across the board. Talk about what AudioMac can do for podcasts and you know, making sure that your show is on there also.
Love that question. So we make it really easy. You can set up through using an RSS feed. It doesn't get any easier than that. And then obviously once the podcasts are ported over to your account, you can manually edit the titles and the information if it doesn't appear as it should. You know, the podcast space is interesting because Spotify over the past few years has obviously doubled and tripled down on non-music content, in particular podcasts, since they don't have to pay royalties on them. Our interest in getting into the podcast space relates specifically to the tenet that I mentioned earlier, which is artist education. And so the podcast that we predominantly feature, that we give the best real estate to, if you will, in the trending bar, in the podcast section on social media, are podcasts that are geared toward helping our creator community and allowing them to look at AudioMac as this resource for information and knowledge.
Awesome. So I think that's another thing, though, that, you know, whenever you talk about like Spotify, you know, and them hosting podcasts, yes, they, you know, bought Anchor and all this different stuff. But still, it's hard for discovery to happen, I feel like. But you have this platform that's set up already for artist discovery. And that was something that really intrigued me whenever we were looking at putting our podcast on AudioMac was, okay, I want to see where you guys are going for podcasters. You know, is there going to be that same level of discoverability available, where it's more, you know, a little bit more of an organic process. How do you see it just like developing? Like, what are you guys' plans for specifically the podcast for the future here?
I think our initial plans as it relates to podcasting is to develop more in-house podcasts. We had some grand plans in that area just prior to the start of the pandemic, and those got put on hold for obvious reasons. Hopefully now, as we come out of the pandemic, we start to revert back to the plans that we had in place beforehand. As far as discoverability for the greater podcast community, it's hard, right? Because especially in a mobile setting, there is only so much real estate on your screen, and it's hard to give the same time and attention both to music and podcasts. It's something that we've thought long and hard about. I don't think that we've done a great job there, but we're not a finished product, and nor do we ever plan to be. And hopefully in the near future, we can do a better job of integrating podcasts to increase discoverability. But as far as the podcast community is concerned, I think the focus should be on figuring out who is your audience, and then developing some great branding and visual aesthetics that match the content of the podcast so that you're actually able to visually market it correctly in these spaces.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, because, I mean, the one thing I've heard, you know, in the past is with podcasts, it's real hard because you put out a show, it goes to your RSS feed, and it just kind of sits there, and it can die there if you're not you know, pushing it. So, and you know, maybe not everyone has the same amount of money to put behind marketing and this kind of stuff. So it's, you know, I know for us, it's been a matter of, okay, what can we try? What, you know, where can we maybe go outside the box a little bit? And, you know, I'm just grateful for, you know, a platform like AudioMac and others that allow us to, you know, dabble in that, you know, and try it out and see, you know, okay, how can I use this tool, you know, that could maybe, you know, connect me with some new people. So thanks for that setup, and I'm, you know, definitely looking forward to seeing, you know, what could continue to develop, you know, and how we can, you know, keep on, you know, reaching new listeners with a platform like an AudioMac. So I know we talked about, you know, what's kind of on the horizon on the podcasting side of it. For just like in general, like what's coming up for AudioMac that people need to be paying attention to? You know, what are you able to share with us?
Well, there's a lot I can't share, but I'd love to. I think first, I'd be remiss if I didn't remind your listeners that earlier this year, we expanded our monetization program. And so AMP, which stands for the AudioMac Monetization Program, is now available to a worldwide audience. Previously, it was only available for artists who are eligible in the United States, Canada, and the UK. So what is AMP? AMP is a direct monetization program that allows creators to, once eligible, apply for monetization and be paid directly by AudioMac. So we're not cutting out distributors. We're just like pre-distribution. So if you're not ready to go wide, right, or you have a deal with a distributor but only for a particular territory or market, and you'd like to just work with AudioMac directly, you now have that ability. Now, we're not a distribution company, meaning if you apply for monetization through AudioMac, we are not going to place your music in other stores. All it means is that the music that you upload to your AudioMac account will be able to generate revenue. So it will be royalty bearing, which is very important for artists at a very early stage, because you can take that money and then reinvest it into your career. The other thing that I'm really excited about is AudioMac World. So earlier this year, we took AudioMac World, which is previously just a website and a mobile on mobile, and integrated it into the in-app experience. So now we have a traditional editorial arm where our users can in one place listen to and read about music. Our focuses, like I said earlier, are artist discovery and artist education. And so, you know, if you're a superstar artist or you have you know, 500 followers on Instagram. It doesn't matter. If you have a story to tell, your music connects with our editorial team, and you have a presence on the platform and you're performing well, you can be eligible. And so I know a lot of artists will reach out and say, but I don't have, you know, this many Twitter followers, or I don't have this many TikTok followers, but I'm doing well on AudioMac. Okay, great. Well, that by itself makes you eligible for consideration for us to highlight your work in original editorial form in the AudioMac app experience. So, yeah, monetization and World, two things that we launched this year that we're really happy about.
Awesome. With the monetization process, can you give just like a quick overview of what that looks like as far as like how the artist gets set up with that?
Absolutely. So the first hurdle to applying for monetization is authentication. Basically, you are who you say that you are. So in order to become authenticated, you have to have your entire profile set up, meaning a photo present, links to your social media, website if you have one, at least two uploads. They have to be original uploads, meaning no remixes, no freestyles, no covers. You need to have at least 25 followers on your page. Once you've accomplished all of this, you can apply for authentication. It's a very simple review on our end. We will vet you to make sure that everything checks out. And assuming it does, you get a gray check mark. Once you are authenticated, you are now eligible to apply for monetization. So that's basically the first step in that path. Monetization application looks a lot like the authentication application. It takes anywhere from 48 hours to 7 days, roughly, for us to review those applications. And once you apply, there's nothing else you have to do as a creator. Once we review it to determine that everything on your page checks out, meaning that the work that you have present is eligible to be monetized. For example, you're not recording music over someone else's music. It's not a remix or a cover of someone else's work. Then you would be AMP eligible. And then moving forward, you could check a box, and that box will allow you to set up each individual release for monetization. It's even easier to understand doing it than it is listening to me explain it. I promise you.
Definitely. Well, Z, I appreciate you hopping on the 520 podcast with us and sharing this information. Like I said at the beginning of the interview, I follow you on Twitter, and your tweets are some of the favorite ones that come across my timeline. Where do people follow you and make sure they're soaking up the knowledge that you share just on social media?
Great question, and thank you very much both for the praise and the follow, Eric. Your listeners can follow me on Twitter at DJ Booth EIC. That's DJBOOTHEIC. It is the only social media platform that I'm on. I'm not against Facebook or Instagram. I just don't have the time for them. So Twitter is the one-stop shop. And your listeners can also email me. I make myself very available to the public. My email address is z@audiomac.com. It's listed in my Twitter bio. I always encourage the creator community to make themselves accessible. So I would be a hypocrite if I didn't make myself accessible as well. And I want to thank you again for having me on the podcast. Great questions and great conversation.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it. Hopefully our paths can cross again in the future. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of more knowledge that Z has that the rest of us need to hear. So maybe we can make that happen down the road. Brian Zizuk, AudioMac, and DJ Booth. Make sure you go check it out, especially if you're an artist. Make sure you have your music on the AudioMac platform because it's fabulous. I love it. So again, guys, we want to give a shout out to the Bookkeeper 24/7 for sponsoring this interview, as well as the rest of our episode sponsors, and we will catch you guys again next month.